Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
The prophet Jeremiah, who is also known as the weeping prophet, whose ministry was approximately 627 B.C. to 580 B.C., one of the reasons that he's known as the weeping prophet is because it was a very difficult time. In fact, it was a disastrous time for the Jews as a people and as a nation. Essentially, they had turned their back on God. They had gone away from some of the ordinances that God had laid down, that they as a people and a nation were to observe and to keep. It even came to the point that they began following other gods. They began sacrificing to idols. They even begin offering their children upon the altar of sacrifice to the god Molech. Terrible things were going on. There's a book that just recently came out called The Mystery of the Shemitah, or Shemitah, I'm not quite sure how it's pronounced there, but it talks about this period of time and Jewish history and all the things that were going on, how they turned their back on God. And also, it relates it to how we as a nation today have turned our back on God. We were once known as a Christian nation, but today, as a nation, we have seemingly turned our back on God. Anything goes but the things that relate to God, and that's become offensive. If you're a Christian, you have become an offense to many other folks because they don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. Now, that's not what my message is particularly about today, but I just wanted to make you aware of that because Jeremiah wrote some very interesting things that apply to our lives today. As he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, he says this, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You see, God, in the first couple of verses there, is putting a call on Jeremiah's life, and Jeremiah is a little hesitant here. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Moses at the burning bush in some ways and how it's taking place. But God says here, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. I knew the path that I wanted you to go down. I knew the life that I wanted you to lead. I knew what I wanted you to do." So in this, he writes of the path that God has set him on and the ministry that is laid out before him. Now again, we look back here at verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Think about it. Before you were even formed, God knew you. I remember some time ago we preached a sermon on God Knows My Name. And He knows us. He is not some God that is seated off somewhere that created these things and then said, just let it run rampant however it wants to go. But He knows you individually. He knows who you are. And guess what? Nothing you do is kept secret from Him. He knows everything about you. I personally believe that life begins at conception, and that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And before anybody says, oh, you're starting to get into predestination there, I think God has a plan for all of us. He has a plan that He would like our lives to go, and a destiny that He has set for us, but He still leaves it up as to whether or not we do it. We have the choice, and He gave us that freedom of choice, that we could decide to follow the path that God would lead us down, or we could go down another path. But He has a way that He would have us to go. He has a purpose for us. Whether or not we follow the path that He has set before us. So when we are conceived, we're set on a path called life. Everyone that's seated here today, everyone that's listening to me, wherever you may be, you are right now on that path called life. You're still living, you're still breathing, you're still conscious of what's going on around you. For some, it's a long journey. Some of us know of folks. We have a friend in Oregon that his mother lived to be, 101 or 102, something like that, years of age. Fairly long life. And for others, it can be brief. Some never make it to the point that we call birth. Others only live a short time after that. But we are created by God, a God who is so knowledgeable that He knows everything about us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus tells the apostles these words, "But the very hairs of your head are numbered." Think about it. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And I've joked a few times that some of us are really keeping Him busy because it seems like we're losing more of them every day. And someday it'll get down to the point He won't have to count them. You know? And say, okay, there's Steve down there, zero. There's Ken down there, zero. It's not quite got that bad for either one of us, but you know, it's getting easier.
We lose ours too.
Yeah. But think about it. He has so much interest in you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about this journey that you have been set upon, this path that you are walking down. You know, life begins the moment we are conceived. But when life begins, something else also starts into play. Something called death. The Bible also tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. So every one of us is walking down a path that will lead us eventually to that thing called death. But the interesting thing about that thing called death is it's talking about the physical body here. It is going to someday die. It's going to fade away. The Bible tells us it's going back to the dust, to the dirt from which it came. For some people, as I said, it's a long journey. For some people, it's a short journey. But during that time, while we're here on planet Earth, we're going down a path. The thing is, there are multiple paths out there. And I know Reese and I, in fact, Reese delivered a Bible study several years ago about this, the paths that are set before us and how the decisions we make affect what happens in our life. But there are basically, it boils down to it, two paths that we can go down. Two journeys that we can take. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, as Jesus is again speaking to the people. This is as he's closing out the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there by which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I want to read that verse again from the Contemporary English Version, which is, "Go in through the narrow gate. The gate to destruction is wide, and the road that leads there is easy to follow. A lot of people go through that gate, but the gate to life is very narrow. The road that leads there is so hard to follow that only a few people find it." And what is the life it's talking about? It's talking about eternal life. Eternal life with God, eternal life with Jesus Christ is what it's speaking about there. So there are two paths. There is the path to that eternal life with God, or there is the path that leads to destruction. And to just kind of cut to the chase and say what it says at the end of the book, the path that leads to that pit of fire, that lake of fire that burneth forever and ever that the Bible tells us about it in Revelations. So there are two paths that you're set upon. Of course, as I said, there are obvious ways that we go down this. But you're on one of those two basic paths. Most people, it says, will follow that path, that wide, easy path that leads down to destruction. Is it easy living a Christian life? No, not always. There are some great moments. But you know what? If you're living a Christian life and you're doing your best to serve God, you've got an enemy out there that hates your guts. Just plain and simple. The devil hates you. And he wants to do his best to destroy you. He wants to do his best to get you off of that path that's leading to God. Bible goes on as Jesus talks here and warns us about those who will try to deceive us. He says, "Because there are false," or "beware," in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving or ravaging wolves." There are a lot of false prophets out there today and teachers who would try to lead you down a path that leads to destruction. For those that are here today in this congregation, it's in your bulletin. There's a copy of it, but for those that are listening by internet, you've all probably seen, or many of you maybe seen, the signs and the bumper stickers that read "coexist." And the letters that form the words "coexist" are made up from some of the symbols for the various religions. In fact, in the bumper sticker, the T is the cross. Just as an example there. Coexist. A number of years ago in Los Angeles, they have what was referred to as the Watts riots. Then after that came the Rodney King incident and the riots that took place during that time frame. After those riots, or right during the time of those riots, Rodney King made a statement, "Can't we all just get along?" And the problem is, can't we all just get along? Because there is, the Bible tells us, no fellowship between evil and good. The darkness and the day. The things of God and the things of Satan. The two cannot mix together. You cannot blend them together. Oh, some people try. And it seems like they're making it work. But if you begin to follow that path, you're leading a path that's leading to destruction. Here's what Jesus has to say about this. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, "And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the path, I am the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." There is only one pathway that leads to God.
Amen.
And guess what? In various parts of the world, and in some places in this very country, that is becoming hate speech. You can't say there's only one way to God. But the Bible, God's holy word, has said it for centuries. There is only one way that leads to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. In the contemporary English version, that again reads, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, without me, no one can go to the Father." You can't get there any other way. When you go on a trip, you plot out your path of how you're going to get there. At least most people do. Not most of the time you don't say, well, I'm going to go somewhere and I have no idea how I'm going to get there. I'm just going to get in the car and drive or whatever. And wherever I end up, I guess that's where I end up. You know, I've never tried that. But normally I try when I'm going somewhere, I lay out a path. And sometimes I have to lay out alternate paths to get there. But I've got to follow the right path, or I'm never going to get to my destination. In other words, if I want to go from here to Los Angeles, I know that the best route probably is to get up and take Interstate 40. And it will take me almost all the way there. But I could take Interstate 65, and I could end up at the Canadian border, and who else knows where I might end up at? Yeah, if I'm smart enough, I might figure out how to get to Los Angeles from there. But boy, it would be a trip, you know. And it's kind of like that as we're in this path of life. We need to have our destination made up and set and know the route that we're taking. That the path we're on is the one that is going to lead us to our heavenly home. And I'll have to say there are some people out there who really don't seem to want to go to heaven. There are some who have boasted that they'll be happy when they can get to their father, the devil, basically. They're looking forward to that day they can meet all their friends. I got news for them. They don't have any friends there. Most of them would like to rip them to shreds for helping them get there. The path called life, we're living it day by day. And we're fighting a battle day by day as we walk down this path. But we have an ultimate goal and an ultimate destination in mind if we are serving God. And that's to one day arrive at that heavenly destination. Amen. Where we will then be in the presence of God for an eternity. Amen. And there are some that are listening to this message that you're walking down a path that is going to lead you to destruction. But one thing about it, it's never too late. Up until you draw that last breath, it is not too late to get yourself over onto the right path. You can switch it by simply asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you can change that path. Unfortunately, there are some people that are on the right path who do just the opposite, and they switch their path over to the wide path and take the easy route, or so it seems, to destruction. We're living in a day and an age when it's becoming, especially in America, a little more difficult to be a Christian. You're criticized. Our children are punished for saying a prayer or having a Bible in their possession at school. Oh, they can have anything else. I believe it's in Florida that a satanic group is passing out literature to the school kids, and they're being allowed to do it. But if a church walks in there and tries to pass out literature about Jesus Christ, they'll get kicked out. Simple as that. That's the path our nation is going down. We as an individual, though, don't have to be on that same path. We can stay on that path that leads to God. Didn't say it was an easy path. Nowhere in there does it say that narrow path is an easy path. In fact, it says the other way is the easier way. Because really, you don't have to do anything to stay on it. It takes some effort, it takes some work to stray on the straight and narrow path. It says here, the Apostle John later writes in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and this is the record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on me, believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says here, eternal life is only through the Son of God. Only through Jesus Christ. And if you do not have Him, you do not have eternal life. You are on the wrong path. As we walk and we enter into this world, there's set before us a path called life. And which way we walk down that path and the choices that we make are up to us. It's a choice that no one else can make for us. You know, there are some people that don't like to make decisions. We probably all run into some people that just don't like to make decisions. No, you choose. Which do you like? And I know sometimes as husbands, we let the wives make the decisions, you know, because they tell us that they're right. So, but when it comes to making decisions, nobody else can make this decision for us. The path that we're on. We can do nothing, and we have made that decision on that part, but as far as serving God, we have to make that conscious decision to serve God. We have to make that conscious decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have Him dwelling in us and to be on that path to eternal life. John writes again in John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You see, our path called life, or we're very plainly told, has two destinations. It's the path that we choose that we will end up at. No one else chooses it for us. So our path of life has two possible endings. The question is, have you chosen the path that leads to eternal life? And if you're listening to me by internet and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never asked Him to come into your heart, I've read to you out of the Word of God what the two choices are. And today you have the opportunity to choose Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be on that path to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Or you've chosen to go down and continue to go down the path that leads to destruction and to damnation. Those are the two choices. And I ask today, would you consider making that choice inviting Jesus Christ into your heart, letting Him become Lord of your life, the one that directs your path and leads you to that eternal heavenly home. And Father, today I pray for those that are listening, wherever they may be, that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, Father God, that You would help those that are making that decision today, Father, that are in turmoil about it maybe, don't know which way to turn. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, and Father, they would make that choice. Some of them is going to make a choice, Father, that they invite Jesus Christ into their heart, and they become a Christian when they publicly declare it. It will put them on the enemy's hit list, and their life here on earth may be shortened. But Father, they will have life eternal with You. Father, anything beyond that they can ever possibly imagine. So Father, today I pray that You would speak to hearts. Help them, Father, to make the choice of life. I give You thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.